What is up, everybody? Welcome to Living Word Church Podcast. Wherever you're tuning in from, we believe you'll be encouraged by today's message.
Y'all turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. This is kind of one of those old school messages, you know. I remember when we were kids, I'd hear these old saints sing, abiding in the vine, abiding in the vine. Love, joy, health, peace, he has made them mine. I have prosperity, power, and victory. Abiding, abiding in the vine. It ain't flashy, but it works. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to read a little more scripture than I normally do at one time because I just feel like I'm supposed to. But as I begin to open up John chapter 15, I remember my dad saying when he first got saved that he didn't like to read. So he just went through the Bible and he started reading the word that Jesus wrote in red. And when I opened up John 15 the other day, I could just hear him saying that because every single word, including the periods, are in red. So these words didn't come from me. They come from Jesus. In verse 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. In verse 3, he says, already you are clean. I want you to think about this for a minute. When we talk about abiding in the vine, some people say, I need to get clean before I can abide. He said, no, sir. No, sir. Already the vine, the source, Jesus Christ. He said, I have already made you clean. So connect to me. Connect to me. He said, because the word that I've spoken to you, he says, in verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. Verse 7, he says, again, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Verse 8, he says, by this. Somebody say, by this. By this. My Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so to prove you are my disciples. In verse 9, he says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. This is that reciprocating relationship. As the Father has loved me, saying to the Son, Jesus, so have I loved you. Starts from the Father, comes to the Son, comes to the children, us. He said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He says, these things I have spoken to you. He said all this stuff about abiding in him, that my joy, not your joy, he said my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. His joy, not joy that comes from the world, not joy that comes from any other source. He said, his joy in me is going to cause me to abound and overflow in him, in joy. He said, your joy may be full. I don't know about y'all, but you know, you hear a lot of people saying, I just want to be happy. Well, most of those that say that, they ain't very happy because they looking for some joy from somewhere else besides the one true source. He said, my joy in you, and that your joy may be full. In verse 12, he says, this is my commandment. This is not a question. This is not a maybe. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. In verse 13, he says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Yeah. He says, no longer do I call you servants. Mm. For the servant does not know what his master is doing. He said, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Listen up, listen up. You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should what? Go bear some fruit and that your fruit should abide. That means that your fruit should remain. It should be kept. So that whatever, here it goes again, you ask in my name, he may give it to you. It says, these things I command you so that you will love one another. Oh, come on, somebody. We could go home, but that would be way too easy. We're going to go on and preach this thing on out. I'm glad y'all came. Let me get a little drink of water. Before I go into John 15, I want to go through a few things. I don't know if y'all have been enjoying this John series, but it has been revolutionary. It has changed my life. But listen to this. Listen to this. Jesus goes into the six things that he says, I am in John. He says, first in John chapter 9, verse 5, he says, I am the light of the world. As long as I am with you, I am the light of the world. Now, I don't know if that tells you anything. I don't even have this in my notes, but he said, as long as I'm with you, I'm the light of the world. So he's gone. Who's the light of the world now? Who's supposed to carry the light of the world now? Me and you. I'm gone. But I'm going to leave my light in this vine, which is me. And he said, you be the light. You know, I used to hear them people sing this little light of mine. I'm going to tell you right now, they ain't got a hold to the vine like I got a hold to it, because there ain't nothing little about this light inside of me. If your light is little, you need some more revelation. Don't be praying for, Lord, give me some more faith. You don't need no more faith. You need some revelation and understanding who he is, because there is nothing little about his light. There's nothing little about his life. There's nothing little about anybody who begins to abide in him. Oh, come on, somebody. He says, I am the bread of life. He said, he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me, he shall never thirst. I don't know about y'all, but that's some good bread. But not only it won't fill you up, but you won't even be thirsty after you eat it. He said also, he says in John 10:9, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The fourth I am, in John 10:11, he says, I am the good shepherd. That's good news right there. He said, the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. That's the kind of shepherd that we're following right now. He said, he'll give his life for me and you. He don't run from the wolves. He don't run when adversity comes to you. It don't matter how big it is or how crazy it looks. I told you, he don't get tired, he ain't scared, and he's not blown away by anything that blows you away. He is concerned with the things that concern you, but he is not scared or blown away, and he is able to make them right on the behalf of his sheep. He is our good shepherd. In John 14:6, this is number five. This is number five. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, nobody comes to the Father except through me. In the sixth one, in John chapter 11, verse 25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. That's the Lazarus story. You know, think about this. He had already showed the people that he was the healer. You know, Mary and Martha, they wanted to run, being stressed out. Come on, my brother's dead. He's already, you know, and I don't know if y'all watched The Chosen, but one of my favorite parts was when Mary and Martha came up there and Lazarus, and he's like, what's up, Laz? There is a humanity about our Savior that we've got to understand. Hey, Lazarus was important to him. His friends were important to him. I don't know if you remember seeing all the scenes when there was festivals. He wasn't sitting over there like somebody looking like, what y'all doing over there? He was celebrating with them. I come up in this place to tell you today that he is celebrating with us. That he is right here in the middle of everything that we're in the middle of. That he does care. He calls us friends. He didn't call us servants. He calls us friends. He is at our wedding. He is doing miracles everywhere we go. See that side of him. See that side of him. He's not somebody way out there. I'm sorry this is so real to him, but I can't help it. I don't ever want to be a churchgoer. I want to be the church. I want to bring that bread of life to somebody. I want to bring those rivers of living water to somebody. I want to share what he's done for me. Number seven. He says, I am the true vine. Now listen to this. He's already told you these other six attributes and aspects of him. But in on the seventh one, when he says that I am the true vine, he says all of these things, plus I'm the healer, plus I'm the savior. Everything, his goodness is wrapped up in number seven right here. He says, I am the true vine. And I don't know if that gets y'all excited, but it gets me excited. Think about this. The number seven, it represents completion. The number seven represents perfection. He said, everything that you'll ever need is wrapped up right here in me. I am the true vine. Now think about this. So he's just now fixing to go to the cross. So all men had before was the law. So the law, Jesus didn't come to do away with it. He came to fulfill it. But their perfection was set up in their abilities and their ability to follow after the law. He said, we're not going to do away with that. But he said, I'm going to be the completion. It's not going to be about your perfection anymore. It's going to be about mine. I'm the complete propitiation for every sin that you'll ever commit, past, present, and future. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. What's so powerful about this is this was hours before he had went to the cross. Anybody ever thought about if you knew that this was going to be the last thing? Miss Gracie, talk to me one time. What would you say? What would you do? Listen, the true vine, he's also the Alpha and Omega. So he's the beginning and the end, and he knows everything in between. But he said, look, I'm about to go over here. So I'm going to tell you that every single thing you'll ever need is right here in me. I am the true vine. I am the answer. I am everything you need and then some. Come on, somebody. Hey, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. The definition of true is that which has not only the name and semblance, but the real nature corresponding to that name. It is the opposite of false. It is opposed to what is imperfect, frail, defective, uncertain. He said, I am the true vine. When I opened up this book, thank God for the Holy Spirit. It's the word spirit and truth. It's the difference when you hear somebody talk about him when they got the Spirit of the Lord in them. Not only in them, but upon them. He begins to breathe life on this scripture. When I first opened it up, the heading said, I am the true vine. And the first verse says, I am the true vine. And the Holy Spirit says, Lance, I'm trying to show you something right here. He said, if I tell you that many times that I am the true vine, there's obviously something that's opposing the true vine. You know, the Apostle Paul said, in the last day there will be forms of godliness. but it'll deny the power thereof. He said, I am the true vine. He said, there's some things that may resemble me. That ain't me. There are some things that may even look like me, and they may even attach my name to it, but he said, that ain't me. I come up in here this morning in Mansfield, Louisiana, where I got the first glimpse of the true vine. And I come in here to tell somebody right now that he is the way. He is the true vine. There are no substitutions to what I'm talking about right now. There's not some things that may look like him that'll help you. Oh, but it will leave you so flat. It will leave you still struggling at the same place that it found you. There's some things that may give you momentary happiness, but that at the end, its result will be death. This true vine I'm talking about, when you begin to abide in it, it's going to give you life, that life more abundantly, that life that he called for. He said in John 10:10, he said, there will be someone opposing that true vine. He said, it's the thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, but the true vine, that's me. He said, I am come that you have life and life more abundantly. Anybody getting anything out of this? He is the true vine. He is the true vine. You know, and there were tons of false prophets at that time that were out there sharing stuff that was just opposing to it, opposing to the true vine. Exodus 23 says, there will be no God before me. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right unto man, but in the end, its way is death and destruction. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What does it look like to abide? What does it look like to abide? How do we do this? You know, we hear preachers talking about, hey, y'all need to abide in the vine. What is abide? I'm about to go ahead and tell you. He must have thought it was pretty important because 105 times in the New Testament, he said the word abide. 34 times just in John, he says, what does it look like to abide? Abide means to remain, to dwell, to stay, to endure, and to live. If one thing that I learned through my life growing up as a kid, as I watch these two people over here on this side of this front row, it wasn't flashy. It wasn't often popular. But I watched them abide. And I watched them faithfully serve the Lord. And it didn't always look good. It didn't always look like 1,200 on a Sunday. There were times that were kind of drab that they had a chance to give up if they wanted to. But when we don't give up, we don't draw back, we abide. You can stop hiding when you start abiding. You don't have to run from nothing anywhere else. He said everything that you're ever going to need is right here in this true vine, abiding in the vine. You ever seen a bunch of happy people, unhappy people? Most of the time they're Christians that aren't abiding. Think about this. The world, they're out there drinking, boiling crawfish. They're having a good time. They're happy. They're smiling. It may be just for a moment, but they're out there happy. But you ever seen a Christian that's not abiding? So he got to show up to church on Sunday morning after he stayed out all night drinking Saturday night. He has no fruit working in his life. He has no peace. He has nothing good going for him. He's over here living his life out of guilt. Instead of abiding. When we abide, we're going to bear some fruit. And we're going to be happy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to give you a few things right here that will help you abide. The first one is, remain in position. That's good. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, know your role. Know your position. There's power in knowing your position. Think about this. Every once in a while, You see a 350-pound lineman, they let him catch a touchdown. They just kind of go ahead and just give him the rock in football, you know. That's not his normal position. He don't do that all the time. His normal position is to stand in front of all the key players behind him, the skill position players, and to block. He won't be successful if he's always out there as a receiver. He ain't very fast. But if he'll just do his position, he can make $2 million a year. He'll be happy. His family will be happy. But if he ever thinks, Coach, I'm going to be that receiver all the time, his career is going to be short. It ain't going to last very long. It ain't going to last very long. Think about this. Remaining in position. I looked up the simple definition of a position. It says a location where someone or something should be. The very first verse there, it says, I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. And it skips on down a couple verses and it says, and you are the branches. He didn't call you to be the source. He just called you to be connected to the source. You ever seen Christians, they wore out, they tired? They're trying to be the source for somebody. All we got to do is be the branch. We hold the fruit, but we're not the supply. He's our supply. He said, I am the true vine. The source is in me. All I need you to do is put your hand out there and you be the branch. Can I tell you, that's a great position to be in. It's fruitful. It makes you happy. No fruit is bared on the vine. It's bared on this branch. He's the source. We're the carriers. We're the conduit of his source, his love, and the fruit's out here on the edge of this branch over here. Oftentimes when you think about position, you think about a place, a geographical location. Can I tell you this morning that the place that you're at, standing right there, that is not near about the most important place. When we talk about position, we talk about posture, it's where your heart is. So my feet can be over here, but my heart can be far from it. You're going to have your heart right if you're going to be very fruitful, because you know why? You're going to have to submit to the source. You're going to have to abide in that vine. You're going to have to know that it ain't about you. It's about the vine. But you get to be partakers of his divine inheritance by being connected to it. He's our source. When we get out of position, we think we're the source. Hey, I could get up here this morning and start preaching and think, oh boy, I got it going on. You know what? You know why I can get up here and do this? I'm connected to the source. I'm connected to this true vine. This ain't me. This ain't me. If I was abiding in my own vine, I want to abide in, I'd probably be fishing right now. Can I tell you, for many years, I didn't abide in the vine for that reason. He's our source. We stay connected to ourselves, man, we're dangerous. Very unfruitful, too. Very unhappy. I hope this is helping somebody this morning. Y'all know I tell off on myself to help somebody. I ain't scared. I'm going to keep it real. Abiding in the vine, that position. Listen here. I'm going to give you three things that's going to help you know about your position. Where we dwell matters. Somebody say, where we dwell matters. When I say that, the first thing that comes to my mind is Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place. Man, I'm so excited. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. He shall remain. He will set up residence right there under the shelter of the Almighty. And he'll begin to say, of the Lord. He is my strength. He is my refuge. We're seeking refuge and we're seeking strength in everything else but the source. He said, if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you will remain in position and you'll bear fruit. That's what we're talking about. Dwelling in the secret place. It is a secret place. You know why? To get in that secret place, you got to get out away from some folks. You got to get humble and say, hey, I'm not going to do it in my own strength anymore. You got to begin to dwell at the feet of Jesus. A lot of people are like Martha's. They're always busy. I get so sick and tired of hearing people talk about they're busy. Yeah. Busy doing what? I've got two businesses, a full family. I serve in the church all the time. You want to get busy? Come jump in the truck with me one day. Let me tell you something. Busy will not equal productivity, and it will not bear fruit. When you get in position, He'll show you what you need to do, and you will be an effective member of the body of Christ. Oh, man, come on, somebody. Who? Look at your neighbor and say, who? Who we dwell with matters. Listen to me. I got my friend over here. I got my little sweet niece over here. I got my friends, Mandy and Tim. I told Mandy one day, I said, Mandy, I think I've had more time, more fun serving the Lord with you than I ever have with anybody else. You know why? Because she's about kingdom business. Can I tell you our phone conversations are not about football games most of the time? And she loves football. But our conversations, Lance, the Lord put somebody on my heart today. I want to go do something to help them. You want to come with me? I tell Amy, Mandy finna come by here and pick me up. We finna go love on somebody. Can I tell you, when you begin to abide in the vine, you're going to have to dwell with people that are abiding too, or you'll get knocked off your race. I love my friend. I love Niecy. Niecy's been giving life to people, and a lot of times there are people that are going through struggles. I love Niecy. I say, I'll come speak for you. I love that because I'm one too that needed some Niecy's and Mandy's to reach their hand out to me and not to abide in what was popular, but to abide in the true vine that became the source that set me free. What we dwell on matters. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is. What are we dwelling on, guys? What are we dwelling on? You know one thing that made the Lord so effective? He was always dwelling on what his Father was dwelling on. He was dwelling on what his Father was dwelling on. He said, I'm about my Father's business. What would happen if the things that concern our Father would begin to concern us? What would happen if we'd get more focused on the Father's business than our business? I was thinking about this the other day. In the slowest time I've ever had in my business, you know what I'm focused on? The Father's business. I've been throwing those jobs, those resources that most men would be leaning on in my position, and I'm leaning on the one true source. You know why? Because I know Him. You know, we talk at Living Word Church, our four core values is knowing God, finding freedom, discovering our purpose, and making a difference. You got to dwell around people that have the same vision. Oh, man. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I wrote my notes, remain in a position or posture of humility and honor. That's one thing I love about our church, man. We are not jealous of the next man doing awesome for the Lord. We jump in there and see how we can help them. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Stay in a position of humble, being humble. They ask you how you doing, say humble. Somebody touch your neighbor. Say, it ain't about you. The last thing I want to say about that position is remain in a position of availability. Our most powerful ability is our availability. Can I tell you that he has all the ability in the world? All he's looking for is somebody he can put it in. But our availability, it's like a go button. It's like a engage button. Lord, I'm available. I'm not really that talented. I might mumble while I'm preaching. But my heart's on you. And oftentimes I ask the Lord, I say, Lord, he'll use me riding down the road in my truck. It's been my favorite pulpit for a couple years now. And I'll go to minister to somebody and he'll just speak, man. Just breathe life on people. Encourage them. And I'll say, Lord, you ain't got nobody else that you can do this through. He always tells me, he says, I do it through you because you'll give me the glory. You are available for me. He said, and if I do it through somebody else that's more talented, they'll think it's about them. He said, you know it ain't about you. You just stay connected to this source and keep opening up your mouth and giving me praise. You keep opening up my mouth and say the words that I give you to say. You keep on being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I will. Hey, when you abide in the vine, hey, not only will you do the works that he does, greater works. This is not about talented people. It's about people that are willing to abide in the vine. Number two, I got to go. Remain in purpose. Remain in purpose. John 15:7. This gets me so excited right here. It says, let me look at it right here. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this. Somebody say, by this. My Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. And so to prove that you're my disciples. Church, I'm here to tell you today, our purpose is to bear fruit. Our purpose is to pray to our Father. When we pray to him and he answers those prayers that are on his heart, can I tell you, it brings him glory? Glorifying God is not just praise and worship. It is that, but it's also bearing fruit. Be an extension of him. I thought about this. This one of my favorite scriptures is Psalms 37:4. It says, delight yourselves in the Lord. Delight yourselves in the Lord. And he says, I will give you the desires of your heart. Listen. For these prayers to be answered, he said, they'd abide in me and my words abide in them, and they could ask what they wish. Listen to me. As I begin to delight myself in the Lord, my desires begin to align up with his desires. I start praying prayers like, Lord, give me a Mercedes. And I'll start praying for some mercy and grace on behalf of some people around me. Can I tell you that when I begin to start abiding in him, can I tell you I hardly ever pray prayers for myself? Get in line. How do we do this? We abide in the vine, period. He's our source. Let your thoughts begin to be aligned with his thoughts. Those prayers are going to begin to get answered. And ultimately, he's going to be glorified. He's going to get the glory. I got to go. Number three, remain in process. How do I continue to abide? How do I continue to bear fruit. How do I continue to keep my thoughts aligned with his thoughts? I keep remaining in this word. I was telling my dad the other day, he's been trying to get me to love the word for all my life. And I would read it, and I would try to do it, and I would take breaks from it. Somebody, stay in the process. You know, one of the greatest keys to victory is when we don't give up, when we don't quit. I told Pastor Paul one time, there was a season in my life where I just kind of didn't really care if the Lord ever used me again. Anybody ever been like that? It's okay to be honest. He can help us with that. I really didn't care. I was just kind of hanging out. I was hunting and fishing all over the world and just having a good old time. I wasn't focused on him anymore. I wasn't connected to the source. But one thing I did that saved my life, it really did. We're talking about he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Mighty. I came to church when I didn't even feel like it. I wasn't connected to the source. But there was somebody right there. But there was a Miss Gracie over there that was still connected to the source. I didn't even care to be connected. But I messed up. And I stayed in that shadow next to some people that were connected to the source. And it changed my life. Talking about bearing fruit. When we abide in the vine continually, we will bear fruit. I don't need a Sunday morning to come up here and preach to somebody. I get up in the morning preaching. I get up in the morning as I work, as I go about my day. I got my company that I've given him the reins. It used to keep me so busy. Come on, somebody. Stop being busy and start abiding. Busyness is not fruitfulness. Stay close to people that see something in you. One of the most powerful things that I've ever done. When I look over here and see my boy Buster. What an oak. He didn't judge me. He kept believing in me. He kept speaking truth into me. I dare y'all to stay in the shadow of some people that we got up in this place right now. Even when you can't abide, just don't quit. Don't quit. Definition I left out of abide. You know, I told you it was to remain, to continue, to dwell in. I want to tell you one thing. It's definition. It also means to be kept and to be held in the arms of a loving Father. I got to tell you this story before we close this thing out. Mark chapter 16. It says, after the Sabbath, Mary Magdalene, Jesus had set her free. She followed him around all the time. Couldn't get rid of her. And Mary, the mother of James, a woman named Shalom, they had went to the tomb. Where they thought He would still be. He wasn't there. He had been risen. Death couldn't hold him. The blood he had lost, it continued to remain. They thought he took it from him. He gave it. For people just like me and you. And I don't know about you, but I have thrown everything at that blood. And I ain't seen a thing he can't wash away. This is how we overcome. The Bible says, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. Let me go on to finish this up. It said, as they went to that tomb, they were looking up in verse 4. It says, and looking up, they saw the stone had been rolled away. It was very large. So, you already know what that means. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. Now listen to what he told them. Do not be alarmed. You see, Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, he has risen and is not here. But listen to me. Don't stop here. Don't stop here. We ain't where I want to go yet. It says, see the place where they laid him. Verse 7. We're talking about being held. Being kept even when we're not hanging on in our own strength. He said, go tell the others. And Peter. For those who you don't know, this was right before he was fixing to go to the cross with John chapter 15. Judas had already betrayed him. His boy Peter, that had been with him all along, Jesus prophesied to him. He said, Peter, before the rooster even crows, you will have denied me three times. Before the sun comes up, Peter. But can I tell you, he still sent word. Not only for his faithful disciples, but after a major mess up, after a major mistake, Peter was kept. He was kept. He said, don't forget about Peter. I'm in here this morning. I'm looking around. It's like a family reunion to me. I got so many cousins and stuff. Man, Trisha, the Lord loves you. When I look at you over there, I can just hear the Lord say, don't forget to tell Trisha and Hannah and Tanya and Hope. Oh, y'all might call me emotional, but I don't care what y'all think about me. I can promise you that. I'm not looking for a job. I got one. I'm not looking for your words of affirmation. I've got one. I come down here on assignment by the Holy Spirit, orchestrated by the Father God, to tell you that he loves you. And if you just abide, he said that you would begin to abound in joy. How about your prayers being answered? Eternal life, strength. Joy of the Lord's our strength. Let his joy be in you. joy will be full. Full of strength. You know what I like about full? Is if you'll let Him fill you up, the one who fills you will also pour you out. One of the greatest things that I ever heard from the Lord about a year and a half ago, I was praying one day riding down the road. The Lord said, Lance, I'll do some mighty things through you if you'll do this one thing. He said, if you'll be a full-time listener and a part-time speaker. And I was at the place in my life where I wasn't really worried about being heard. I was worried about hearing from Him. And as I began to do that, when I opened up my mouth, His word abide in me and my words abide in you. Things begin to happen. Hearts begin to open. Lives begin to change. Cousins, like I'm telling y'all. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He's not an appetizer. He said, abide in me. I am the bread of life. Feast in me. He said, not only will you not be hungry, you won't even be thirsty. That's how good I am.
Thank you, Lord.
I would ask you to raise your hands if you don't know this true vine that I'm talking about. But I ain't even going to do that this morning. What I'm going to do, because I'm not looking for a decision. A decision is often sometimes it's said in a moment, but there's no follow through. He said, my Father's glorified when somebody starts following me. Become disciples. So I want to see, if somebody don't know this Jesus I'm talking about, I want to see Him because I'm just the man that's willing to disciple Him. Thank God for a pamphlet we hand them out. But thank God, I'm seeing God, I'm seeing Him move when I'm walking beside these folks. I had an alcoholic call me this morning. At 8 o'clock, he just got out of rehab, was about to lose his whole family. Somebody in this church messed around and called me and said, Lance, I need you. My boy is messing up. He's leaving for rehab in the morning. He's losing his family. His wife's filed for divorce. He said, will you call him? I said, will I call him? I'm looking for an opportunity to pour out. Called to bear fruit, not to come to church. And I began to talk to that man going down that road. And there was a love for him that didn't come from this world. It was a love that comes straight out of the heart of the Father. I never even seen this dude. I didn't even know his name, never seen him or whatever. And as I began to talk to him about this true source, needless to say, that month and a half, I kept on walking with him. Kept on teaching him how to abide. I kept on discipling him. I kept on showing him the love of God. When he went in, his wife had already filed for divorce papers. His wife had already been shunned by their family. You know who picked him up when he got out? His wife. When we abide, He'll resurrect those things that have died. We can't mess them up bad enough for Him to not repair them. He will repair them. That's His business. He is a God of restoration. He is a God of resurrection. And some of you, that think your situation has gone too far, the resurrection and the life. Lazarus was already dead. He had begun to stink. And I know that there's some situation here right now that they've been dead for so long. They begin to stink. But He didn't come just to show them that He was the healer. This thing had gotten bigger, the need for a healing. It needed the resurrection and the life. He's available. He's willing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody that don't know Jesus? Like I told you, we're not doing this hand stuff today. I'd look at somebody that wants to make a stand. And I'll walk with you. I'll walk with you. I'm going to ask one more thing. The Lord spoke to me earlier and said, if you're not abounding, abounding means to overflow. He said, if you're not abounding, are you still abiding? Because when you're abounding and you're connected to the vine, it's real easy to see. He said, we're the branches. This church is made up of all kinds of branches. Let me tell you a good way to see if you're abiding is those branches beside you. Are you looking over there and saying, oh, you got more fruit on yourself than me? Are you looking over there and say, I'm so thankful for you because I don't have to carry all this fruit by myself. I don't have to do it alone. We've got 1, 2, 3 campuses. The church is not the source. It is a resource that connects us to the source. And as us branches get together and abide, can I tell you, all of y'all's money, all of my money, we put it together. We help people all over the world. I don't have a couple $100,000 to give into mission, but I can put my hunter with your hunter. I can't reach every single person in all these different places, but I can reach them in my area. Somebody stand up if they're ready to abide. Somebody stand up. Somebody stand up. And if you don't want to abide, don't even stand up. I don't want to be looking over there counting on you if you ain't going to be here. Herein is my Father glorified, that we bear fruit. Can I tell you the other thing for everybody that's serving in here and getting with it? You know what will help you remain and remain happy? Do it as unto the Lord. You know, I may get burnt out trying to serve in the eyes of my dad, even though he's awesome. When I do it unto the Lord, so good.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you want to get more connected, text NEXT to 62488 or go to our website, mylwc.church. We hope that you have an amazing rest of the week.